in Southern California. I am Jim Rome. Welcome to the jungle. Broadcasting from the Quicken Loans studios. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Got a really nice show for you today. Some different topics, different directions. Got a couple of things that might surprise you a little bit. So let's get after it. Starting with your telephone number, toll free, 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Something you want to keep in mind. I've got my three interviews that I normally have, but we're going to front load all three in the first half of the program. If you want to lay out and you want to hit me on the back half, that's fine. If you want to take your shot and get in early, that's fine. Start dialing. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at HaveAtake.com. So what's interesting about this? We're going to talk some NBA. Sam Amick, a senior NBA writer for The Athletic, one of the best in the business, joins me in 15 minutes. Top of hour number two, the head basketball coach at Buffalo, Nate Oates, joins me. Really interesting in the sense that he worked for Bobby Hurley. Bobby Hurley is my podcast guest. I am extremely fired up about that. Podcast Wednesday with Bobby Hurley. So Nate Oates will get us started. Top of hour number two, Arizona State head coach Bobby Hurley later on the Jim Rome podcast. Also at the bottom of hour number two, we'll talk some hockey. Toronto Maple Leafs head coach Mike Babcock. So like I said, it's going to be a good day. Good day. And believe it or not, a little bit later on, I am going to talk soccer. And not how you think. Not what you think. It's going to be sharp. It's going to be smart. It's going to be a really good take. That's coming up later on. But first, why don't we start with some college football? Urban Meyer is where I want to start. Herb met with the media yesterday to explain his decision to step down after the Rose Bowl. Now, I could play you some clips from that presser, but why don't we be honest about something? There's really only one question that anybody cares about. Only one question that really matters. Nobody is really interested in why he's stepping down. Because you know you're not going to get a straight answer from him on that one. So the only question that really matters is he going to coach again? And it's a fair question. Because yesterday was his third retirement since 2009. It's a hell of a lot of retirements. If you get fired three times in less than a decade, that's a problem. If you retire, though, three times in less than a decade, that's a... Well, I've got no idea what that is, because that just doesn't happen. Most people don't drive three different cars in less than a decade, and this guy's rolling through retirements like they're leased. And while it is a fair question, given Herb's past, you knew there was not much of a chance that you would get a good answer. You see, Urban Meyer has a really interesting relationship with the truth. Let's just say that it's a strained relationship that he likes to characterize as misstatements or failed memories. And then when he pulls crap like that, he thinks he's getting over. And for some people, maybe he does. But when you look at this guy's track record, when you know how this guy operates, to me, it's all pretty hilarious. Or it would be. If it didn't involve so much denying and covering for some allegedly heinous acts, which is why this following exchange is such classic Urban Meyer. A reporter asks, and I quote, "Is this truly it for your football career?
Is this it, truly it for your football career?"
Well, it's a complicated question, and I'll try to answer it the best I can.
All right, let me jump in right there. No, it's not. That's not a complicated question. It's actually a really simple question, a very simple yes or no question, one that you had to know was going to come up at that press conference, and you still start with, well, it's a really complicated question. Let's not get into that yet.
Let's not get into that yet.
911 caller could not believe how ill-prepared Herb was for that question. Then again, if Urban Meyer was the guy who Urban Meyer proclaims himself to be, then this whole thing would actually be kind of sad, right? Because then it would be the departure of a guy who is a great football coach, but also a moral leader, a pillar of the community, who was being cut down by his own poor health. You see, if Urban Meyer was the Urban Meyer he thinks he is, he has the brain to be the best football coach in the country and a brain cyst that will not let him compete at the highest level that he wants. The tragic irony there would be so thick It's almost Shakespearean. Except Urban Meyer is not the Urban Meyer he thinks he is or wants you to think he is. That's why this whole thing feels like a big joke. Oh, and speaking of jokes, why don't we get back to the rest of his answer?
Well, it's a complicated question, and I'll try to answer it the best I can, is that I try to say that in the statement. And this is home. This is where I grew up. It's not healthy, but I came to work every day with fear of letting people like Archie Griffin and my great state of Ohio, our great state of Ohio, and this incredible university down, because this is home. I'm a graduate of Ohio State, and we have the best fans in the land, and I didn't want to let them down.
Got it. Got it. All right, then. So what that means is you are going to coach again, right? Because you didn't say that you weren't. And really, nobody's buying that crap that you're slinging around right about now. I mean, answer the freaking question. Because then it was asked again, will you coach again?
Urban, as you sit here now, do you believe you will not coach again?
I believe I will not coach again.
Are you fairly certain?
Like, certain, yes.
So, I believe I will not coach again, and I'm, quote, fairly certain. So you've got three answers, right? And they include the following. Muddying the waters with, it's a complicated question. Hedging with, I believe I will not coach again. And then hedging even more with being, quote, fairly certain I will not coach again. Man, there's so much wiggle room there. You could drive a Mack truck through it. Come on, man. You didn't even bother trying to sound authentic with it. And the longer that press conference went, the less convinced he was that he was done. Hell, by the end of that presser, I thought he was going to announce that he had taken the job at USC. Like somebody asked him one more time. If they asked him one more time, he'd just rip out a USC hat and yell, fight on. Yeah, this dude's done. He's done coaching at Ohio State, but he's not done coaching. He knows it. That's why he would not answer the question. You see, this guy can't stay away. His body, his brain actually, may be telling him that he can't keep coaching, but his ego won't let him stop. So he can sign another one of those family contracts where he pledges to take care of himself and be present with all of his loved ones. And he will. He will for a little while until the next great opportunity comes along, and then he will bounce again, because this is what this guy does. He wins a hell of a lot of football games. He crosses a hell of a lot of lines in order to do it. He lies about it. Misrepresents it. Wears out his welcome after building yet another renegade program, and then he retires, only to come right back. In other words, he doesn't retire. He quits. And then he does come back. And he will again. He will again. He always does. So, if somebody's offering me a line or an opportunity to bet whether Herb coaches again, I'm going to hit that thing hard. Because there's no way this guy's done. You know it. I know it. Most of all, he knows it. Or he would have owned that retirement yesterday. But he didn't. He never does. And if you can't answer the easiest question ever, are you done coaching? Then you know it's just a matter of time before he does it yet again. And one more thought. I'm curious. How do you think that the Ohio State administration feels right about now? They stick their neck out. They shame themselves. They sell their soul to the devil to keep this guy. And what do you get for your troubles, for what you did? The very distinct possibility this guy is going to coach some other program in the near future. Now, Ryan Day seems like a hell of a coach. Everybody who's been around Day raves about Day. He might, in fact, be the next Lincoln Riley. And maybe they'll come out of this okay from a football standpoint. But they stuck by a guy who brought scandal to their doorstep, and then he ducks out the back door a few months later. But that's what you get when you deal with Urban. Did it in Florida, did it at Ohio State. That's who he is. He wins a hell of a lot of football games. It's a damn good football coach now. Great coach. But he burns hot. And he'll make up a bunch of crap about how he's there to mold young men and treat women with respect. Then he'll let his players and coaches do essentially whatever the hell they want. And then he'll leave. And then he'll leave destruction in his wake. So, the next school that hires him, and I think there will be another one, had better know that. Just know that.
I believe I will not coach again.
That's not, I'm not coaching again. That's not, I've had an amazing run. That's not, oh, I'm done. I'm retired. I believe I will not coach again.
I believe I will not coach again.
How certain are you about that? Fairly certain.
Like, certain, yes.
Yeah, I believe he will coach again, and I'm fairly certain about that. 1-800-636-1067. 8686. All right. Looking at some other things today. And Sam Amick's coming up next. Klay Thompson. You see Klay Thompson go in on the Cavaliers, calling them bums and idiots. Clones, do not be idiots, but think it's okay to talk about bums. Klay Thompson calling the Cavaliers bums and idiots. It's not a green light for you idiots to come with bum smack. That's not what that was. He was not making fun of them for not having a place to live. He called them bums, you know, athletically, professionally. And it's actually awesome. The best kind of bum smack. I mentioned that I've got a take on soccer. And I'm not who you think I am. I'm not going to trot out some tired take about how soccer is not a sport, but rather a reason to riot. Blah, blah, blah. This is not 1994. I'm not going to trot that out there. I have got a very well-reasoned, very intelligent take on soccer. And if you're into the world sport, you're going to like this take. You might not agree with it, but you'll have to respect it because it's very smart. And if you hate soccer and you just want me to talk about people bagging up blood and urine and throwing at each other, then you're not going to like this take because that's not what this take is. You see, I'm not like a lot of you clones. I don't recycle tired material. I evolve. I grow. I change. I'm not saying I like soccer, but I saw something that happened in soccer that I like a lot. That story's coming up a little bit later on. Mike Gundy goes Mike Gundy again. Man, I love this guy. Absolutely love this guy. That story's coming up too. Really quickly, dear Jim, retirement is grand, but I already missed some things about coaching. Smelling the grass before practice, watching a player score his first TD, answering every question with a complete lie. Damn, that felt good. Your pal, Herb. Casey, New Hampshire.
I believe I will not coach again.
When we come back, Sam Amick is my guest. Don't go anywhere. Clones, the holidays are fast approaching, and with it, the uncertainty of what to get that special person in your life. Do not overthink this. Give the gift of a Peloton. Peloton is a game-changing indoor cycling bike that brings the energy of live studio classes right to your home. I know. I rode mine yesterday right after work. It was awesome. This holiday season, Peloton is the perfect gift for them and for you. You can give them up to 14 live cycling classes every single day, thousands more on demand. Plus, you yourself get to clip in as well, as long as they're not riding. With live cycling classes streaming right to your home every day, featuring real-time motivation from world-class instructors, Peloton is the perfect gift this season. In fact, any season. Any weather is perfect for Peloton. No matter how rough it gets this winter, there's always a brand new ride waiting for you at home. It is your last chance to gift the Peloton bike in time for the holidays. Order by December 10th. Get guaranteed delivery by December 25th. For more details, go to onepeloton.com, onepeloton.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Watching on CBS Sports Network, we're bumping in with a very serious shot of the XR4 Ti. Lighten up, fellas. What's up, man? As promised, we're joined right now by a senior NBA writer for The Athletic. Good friend of the program, too. Who's got an amazing piece up right now that I want to get into. Sam Amick is my guest. Sam, great to have you back. How are you?
Romy, doing great. Thanks for having me, sir.
Always good to have you, Sam. Thanks so much. And I mentioned a fascinating piece up right now in The Athletic about the Warriors and what they dealt with last year. Sam, before we get into it, let's go back to a comment that David West made after Golden State won at the end of last season. That was the moment where West said, in part, quote, "We're so tight, people don't even know what we went through. They trying to find out. Y'all got no clue, no clue. That tells you about this team that nothing came out," end quote. So at that time, Sam, what was your reaction to what he said?
So, I mean, obviously they wrapped up the championship in Cleveland. I remember vividly, you know, we left the Quicken Loans Arena, myself and a couple other reporters. We start seeing these quotes, you know, and they had kind of escaped us before we filed our stories for the night. So we were done. And I ended up hitting a few Warriors people, including their PR, head of PR, Ray Ritter, at the time. So the Warriors are celebrating at the Morton Steakhouse. They just won another chip. And at that moment, you know, the team response to David's comments was, that, oh, he's just screwing with you guys. And David was going around telling people with the team, like, oh, I was messing around. And we all kind of said, all right, but that's kind of strange. And obviously, the curiosity never went away in those following months. So it was just this weird thing where folks kept wondering what the heck he was talking about. And, and certainly now I think we know more than before.
Sam Amick joining us. So you do your thing. You keep digging, you keep reporting, and you're working on the story. And as you write, quote, according to sources with knowledge of the situation, the Warriors dealt with a team-wide meningitis scare in mid-March. That was the root of Wes' infamous comments, end quote. So when you found out that that's what that was, what did you think? What was your reaction?
I mean, it's, I was stunned, like David said we would be when we learned about it. It also hits you. It's just, I don't know how to describe it, but it's not expected, because I think we all had assumed that it was going to be basketball related. It was going to be something that happened with Kevin Durant or Draymond or one of the other guys. And I don't think it was something obscure like this is what we thought it was going to be. And then it was a strange reporting process, because honestly, Romy, like, I called David to get his perspective on this current team. And then it was the tail end of that conversation. We ended up talking two different times when he ended up sharing that it was a serious health scare, but he didn't want to take it any farther. And, and I ended up finding out through other means, but I was surprised, and like I wrote, you had a guy in house who is still there and who thankfully is healthy. And this was life threatening for him. And, who is, part of the group that's serving food every single day. So it's close, intimate contact with the Warriors, with their players. And obviously, from a human standpoint, this matters, but sports wise, you're looking at one of the best sports teams of all time, having this kind of a threat. And, they had to take a bunch of precautions. They had to sanitize the heck out of the practice facility. They had to, kind of tear down the dining room where the players and the basketball operations staff ate every single day. They took vaccination shots, majority of the players, other staff members. They moved practice one day over to Oracle Arena. And it's funny, because I've seen some of the reaction from fans has been an eye roll and a shrug, because folks like to hate on the Warriors so much. And anybody who has that reaction must not understand the seriousness of something like this version of meningitis. I mean, this was a pretty big deal.
Sam Amick joining us. Obviously, it's a very big deal. Sam, I think for people to say that, they obviously do not know what meningitis is. What is it, and what does it do to you?
Well, I mean, you have different forms, and it's, full disclosure, the gentleman who went through this, and I understand he did not want to kind of interact or cooperate for the story, and I respect that, and kind of we kept our distance. But, bacterial is what we believe, his version of this was, and that's where it gets really serious. I read a story the other day about a former Cal athlete, 21 years old, I forget the timing, it was last couple of years, who, contracted it, and it was just an awful story. She was gone within 2 days. And this thing can hit you, and it doesn't get much more serious. Now, it's different from, you have viral meningitis. DeMarcus Cousins, ironically, had that a few years ago when he was on the Kings. And that, comes with its own symptoms, but it's not the same. And so, it's nothing to be messed with. I do give the Warriors a lot of credit. By all accounts, they handled it very well. Zaza Pachulia, with the team last year, flat out said, they couldn't have done a better job of keeping this thing from spreading, making sure everybody was safe, but certainly scary stuff.
Sam Amick joining us. Sam, obviously these guys are used to getting hurt, and they understand the protocol that comes along with that, rest, rehab, therapy. This is not what that was. This is not what this is. What was the player's reaction when they learned about the scare?
What's interesting is I keep learning a little bit more about the reaction and the part that's not in the story and that is tough to get at because we don't interact, with players' families, is that I think there was more concern around the players. And, this is one of those life situations that went beyond the locker room. And I think I've heard some stuff about wives being very, very concerned and almost still being on edge. Like, it's the kind of thing that'll shake you, and you just kind of hope it's definitely gone. The players themselves, I think it varied. Like, there was a lighthearted, it's weird to have a comical quote in a story like this, but JaVale McGee, I know you read the piece, and he's got that line where he says, I'm from the hood. Like, I'm not afraid of meningitis. And it's like, all right, it's JaVale being JaVale. So he's taking it in stride. Zaza was a little more grave with his tone. David certainly, even though he wouldn't talk specifically about the meningitis, he did give his perspective on the serious health scare. He described it as something that affected all of them. And again, all you got to know is that a guy like D. West, who's about as real and kind of anti-dramatic as they come, You know, this is where his head was at when he said what he said, and then he did feel like it was something that, that had their head spinning and had them worried.
Sam Amick joining us. He's a senior NBA writer for The Athletic. This piece is up right now. I mean, Sam, it's one thing to deal with this. It's one thing to handle it. It's one thing to play with this kind of floating around. How in the world did we not find out about this until right now? I mean, like, what does that tell you about the team, the locker room, and the organization that none of this came out until right now?
Yeah, I mean, it is wild. Now, obviously, internally, they had meetings where they flat out said, let's not talk to the press about this. But, I mean, my goodness, once you – I mentioned earlier, once you have wives involved, once you have, you know, kids and uncles and aunts and whoever else might have heard, it's very surprising, you know, agents and people like that, like, that it didn't get out. And even people in the media, you know, who I work with and respect every single day, in talking to them after the story came out, I've yet to run into anybody – who got a whiff of it at all. And I didn't get a whiff of it, you know, at all until talking to David. And so that part's shocking, you know, and even they're trying to see it through. You know, the Warriors declined to comment for the story, and Bob Myers in particular, their GM, you know, I was told that, that the reason that he did not want to give me a quote or talk to me about the piece was because he had vowed to his players to not talk about this situation, and he doesn't want his players reading a quote in a story now, even though, you know, the story was coming out anyway. So Steph Curry did the same thing. You know, the team's on a long road trip, so I wasn't around the team, but I did attempt to get, you know, some reaction from Steph, and, you know, and he declined. He didn't want to, he just said, no, let's just let him write the story and we're going to move on. So it's pretty wild in today's day and age that they kept it quiet.
All right, so winning three titles in 4 years is pretty impressive in and of itself, regardless of what's going on with that roster. How much more impressive is it when you're dealing with a meningitis scare late in the fourth season of that run?
It's very impressive. The timeline to me is also what struck me about the story because, you know, listen, this would have been concerning no matter the timing. But if it was in November, December, you know, it just would have been a different story because anybody who remembers that portion of the Warriors season remembers that that was when they started showing some vulnerability. They lost 10 out of 17 games. Steph had the ankle injury, comes back for one game against Atlanta, tweaks his MCL. Now he's out for another 16 games going into the playoffs. Klay Thompson breaks his thumb. David West had a cyst that kept him out 5 games. So they're battered and bruised. You know, even one of the guys I talked to for the story, Chris Boucher, who was on a two-way contract at the time with the Warriors, he now plays for the Raptors, you know, he was only there because they needed bodies. You know, he'd come to practice, and even if he wasn't playing in games, you know, he was running with the champs because they needed live bodies. And so all the regular stuff that a team deals with was already at a pretty high level when it comes to injuries. And I think the personality stuff, too. You know, you constantly heard stuff about how last season, and specifically around that time in February and March, these dudes got sick of playing with each other. And it's not necessarily personal, but like David said, he goes, man, I'm not in the league anymore, so I can say this more honestly. He's like, when you're the champs, you play a lot of meaningless basketball. And that's very hard to remain focused and to not let some of these daily type of things get under your skin and cause problems.
Sam Amick, my guest. All right, then one last thought, Sam, because Golden State is playing the Cavaliers tonight, and that game obviously has got a very different feel from how previous Warriors-Cavs matchups have felt the last few years. Now that the rivalry is over, what is your sense as to how the Warriors players felt about the Cavalier players?
Well, probably a lot of layers to a lot of nuance. I would recommend folks read a really good piece at our place. Anthony Slater, who covers the Warriors, just killed it having like perspective from the Warriors looking back at the rivalry and how strange it is for them going into tonight. You know, Steph in particular just talked about how, man, you're talking about it was around 30 games they played each other the last couple of years. So a ton of memories. How do they see their guys? You know, I mean, I think universal respect for LeBron. Certainly, even Kyrie being in Boston now, you know, universal respect for the part that Kyrie played in there. But then it gets a little, maybe a little trickier. The Tristan Thompson relationship, a little more friction, a little more, you know, probably a little less respect, I think. You know, I think that the Warriors, we always kind of overlook the fact that these dudes are as competitive as they come. Even a guy like Steph, who puts on the kind of the angel face, you know, he's proud of the fact that they busted the Cavs up. And there's no other way to put it. Like, they did. You know, this was two Titan teams, you know, on a collision course year after year. And if the Cavs had found a way to go, you know, get on top of the Warriors, then this thing would have gone a different way. Maybe LeBron's still there. Maybe Kyrie's still there. But the Warriors are, you know, still doing their thing, still trying to build. keep this dynasty going, and Cleveland is in tank mode.
You're right. Steph is proud, and I know Clay is too. Otherwise, he wouldn't have busted them up as bums and idiots, which is awesome. And I'll get to later on in the program. You want to read this piece. It's a really interesting piece. It's up right now. He's a senior NBA writer for The Athletic, good friend of the program too, Sam Amick. Sam, well done as always. Nice to have you back. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Romy. Have a good one.
You too, Sam. Well done. So a meningitis scare. So, you know, if you're one of those people saying, what's the big deal? Who cares? Meningitis. And not like JaVale McGee, like, I'm from the hood, so therefore I'm not afraid of this. Put that aside for a minute. That's JaVale being JaVale. If you're a fan saying, who cares? What's the big deal? Then either you're here to hate or you just don't understand the nature of that disease. Like he said, there was a young athlete from Cal who contracted it and was gone 2 days later. So imagine the whole team having a scare. I mean, that's terrifying stuff. And incredibly, it did not get out. How it didn't get out is amazing, too. Dear Rome, color us shocked that a place as dirty as Northern California got hit with meningitis. Gross. Signed, clean SoCal, except La Habra. John in Huntington Beach, unwore perverts that get their haircuts at Sports Clips. Yeah, John, because there'd never, ever be any threat of meningitis in Huntington Beach. The cleanest place in the world. The most sterile place in the world. The most sanitized place in the world. HB. Again, not really something to make a joke about. Dear Romeo, I'll catch you. Guaranteed.
I'll catch you, guaranteed.
Yours, three bills on Curly Frying Benjamin scale. Mike in Buffalo, weight taking him. Wore Alvey's third fat alarm. Not doing that take. I'm not, and nor are you. You see what he did there? I'll catch you. I'll catch you, guaranteed.
I'll catch you, guaranteed.
Yours, three bills on Curly Frying Benjamin scale. And one more email as I go to break. I've got a sports update coming up in 30 seconds. Dear Rome, I love Southern California, but today is one of those days I dehydrate myself at work because I don't go to the water cooler all day. This is to avoid Bob in marketing, Shelly in customer service, Greg in IT, Chad in sales, going on and on about the rain around the water cooler, how nobody can drive in it, how they need to leave earlier today, how traffic is so much worse. We get it, people, but you don't have to talk about it every single time water drops from the sky. Get back to work, losers. John in Huntington Beach, unwore perverts that go to Sports Clips for a haircut. Yeah, I heard it the first time, John. It wasn't funny then either. Look this guy up. How many emails has he sent, and how many times has he sent that one war? Bro, I understand that you're a volume shooter, and that in your mind, John, it's not how many no's, it's how many yeses, right? And if you get that one big yes, you're happy. He actually had a pretty fair point. People do freak out here in SoCal when it rains. All right, still ahead. I want to get into my thoughts on Golden State, too. Clay is just not a guy to talk like that. But he called the Cavaliers bums and idiots, which is strong. Name-calling usually is lazy and weak. Calling them bums and idiots, though, is strong and funny. That take's coming up. I can't wait to talk some soccer. Sincerely, cannot wait to talk some soccer, and I will. We're going to talk Buffalo basketball at the top of the hour. Got to get into Mike Gundy. Mike Gundy goes Mike Gundy once again, and you know that's good news. Rockets are not playing good basketball. Can't blame it on Melo now. And CP3 is like, what, me worry? There's an update on Jerry Hughes. Buffalo Bill, Jerry Hughes. Remember, he accused referee Roy Ellison of calling him a bitch, and it seemed really weird. Like, there's no way a referee would do that. Come to find out, maybe he did. Maybe he did. All that is still ahead, but here is...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
If there is an Ask the Pros billboard, then it must be Wednesday. ATP Day, Wednesday. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Ask me any question you want. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, for all your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Be sure to check that out. All right, really quickly, a couple of emails, and I want to talk about Jerry Hughes and referee Roy Ellison and who's right and who's wrong. Dear Jim, we totally believe Urban Meyer when he says that he believes he will not coach again. Insincerely, I believe I will not call again Josh in Detroit. I believe I will not flame again Dr. Dave. I believe I will not eat again Adelephant.
Hello, it's me.
You didn't just do that, Alvin. Den Lusks, I believe I will not email again. This email just reads, I believe I won't eat at Jack in the Box again.
I believe I will not coach again.
Ben Affat, Stephen Phoenix. You're not that bright, are you, Steve? Ben Affat. Dear Jim, why did the chicken cross the road? Exactly. Josh in Detroit.
I thought I'd catch up on some holiday shopping over the weekend. I walked in, the salesman asked me, how can I help you? And I said, I'll take it. Rack me, Jim.
That dope did that yesterday. That dope did that yesterday. He dropped his own mic. Thought I'd do some holiday shopping. Dude, you're like the male version of Jolene. Thought I'd do some holiday shopping. I walked in. Salesman said, can I help you? And I said, I'll take that. Rack me, I'm out. What the hell does that even mean, Josh? What does that even mean? That's why this guy emailed me. Dear Jim, why did the chicken cross the road? Exactly. Rack me. Josh in Detroit.
I thought I'd catch up on some holiday shopping over the weekend. I walked in. The salesman asked me, how can I help you? And I said, I'll take it. Rack me, Jim.
Bro, you're trolling me, right? Nobody's that much of a dope. You're trolling me, right? This says, hey, Rome, wore the commission check on the salesman who got lucky enough to get Josh's lead on his desk. Signed, Dylan in Sales. Salesman said, how can I help you? I said, I'll take that. Oh, all right. Anyway. So yesterday we talked about the bizarre story of Buffalo Bill defensive end Jerry Hughes running up on a ref after the Dolphins game this past Sunday and then very publicly and very loudly accusing that ref of calling him a bitch. In case you missed it, here's what that sounded like.
You call me a bitch, I'll catch you. Trust me, I'll catch you. I'll catch you, guaranteed.
And I've never heard a player talk to a ref like that. He threatened him. He accused him of calling him a bitch, and he threatened him. Literally, you can hear it right there. One more time. He threatened him. I'll catch you, guaranteed.
I'll catch you, guaranteed.
That's 6'2", 260-pound Jerry Hughes on video after the game in the tunnel telling referee Roy Ellison that he's going to catch him for calling him a bitch. He also inaudibly says in that same video, and I quote, I'm going to knock his ass out when I see him again. I'm going to hurry up, get dressed. He called me a bitch, end quote. So again, just to reset this, for those who missed it, Jerry Hughes was asked why he was so hot with Ellison, what Ellison did or said to get Hughes to snap. Hughes, however, when asked about that, when asked about what I just played, did not seem to have any idea whatsoever what the questioner was talking about.
What caused the anger? I mean,
obviously. What's anger? Who was angry?
Yours.
I was angry?
That's the report, yeah.
I mean, I lost the game, so I'm supposed to be angry. We just played our butts off for four quarters, and we came 6 inches short of winning the football game. So I think myself, with a lot of Buffalo Bills fans, are probably upset right now. I mean, that's just the nature of playing sports. Someone's going to win, someone's going to lose.
That's true, but we don't usually see those types of reactions, you know, going after an official after a game. What sparks that?
Who did?
Unique you.
I did.
Yeah.
I did what?
we saw you go up to the official.
What did I say? If I did go up to the official, what did I say?
I'll catch you.
I would love to see the video.
You were referencing he called you.
Yeah, I would love to see the video.
All right, so that's Jerry Hughes.
So that did not happen that way? I would love
to. That's Jerry Hughes, who just rolled up on Roy Ellison minutes earlier, telling the media that who's angry? What did I say? Show me the video. You know, the video that everybody has that we just played. It's strange, right? Pretty strange. I don't know. Here's an idea. When the guy says, show me the video, show the man the video. You've got it on your phones, right? Show the man the video. He asked you to see the video. Show him the video. I mean, I guess maybe the guy asking the question didn't have the video, but everybody else does. So the whole thing is just weird. Weird that Ellison allegedly called a player a bitch. That's weird. Hughes acting after going after Ellison, that never happened. That's weird. And now there's an update, because this story officially has legs. Yesterday afternoon, according to a tweet from Ian Rappaport, the NFL has begun an official review of the alleged incident. And in the process, the league has placed Roy Ellison on administrative leave. So important to note, putting the referee on leave does not mean that he said what Hughes alleges he said. It means the NFL thinks that something may have happened, and they want to get to the bottom of it. They want to find out exactly what it is. Notice the league is not saying there's no way that a ref would ever say something like that to a player. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Now, to me, I mean, it seems kind of out of character, but then again, does that sound like something Jerry Hughes would just make up? It doesn't seem like it. Or could he have just made that up? We don't know. The league wants to know. In fact, we all want to know. The whole thing is really weird because nothing like this has ever happened before. Or has it? Apparently, there is precedence, because back in 2013, an NFL referee was suspended for allegedly calling Redskins offensive tackle Trent Williams a, quote, disrespectful mother bleeper. That same referee also called Williams a, quote, garbage ass. So there is precedent. And that referee, who was suspended back in 2013, was, wait for this, Roy Ellison, the same guy. Incredible. A metaphor coming to life right before our ears and eyes. And now we know a zebra truly cannot change its stripes, allegedly. So potentially what we have here is an NFL employee whose job it is to police the game out on the field, calling players disrespectful mother bleepers, garbage asses, and bitches. Allegedly. Reportedly. Hopefully. Imagine a league of referees running around calling the players disrespectful mother bleepers, garbage asses, and bitches. Or even just imagine just one guy doing it. Because we might have that. Again, I wasn't there. I'm not saying that Ellison did it. I don't know. I'm saying that if he did do it, then apparently it was not the first time. And that their gig, a referee's gig, is tough enough without adding provocation and antagonizing players to the job description. So, for Ellison's sake, I hope that where there is smoke, there is not fire. Otherwise, my man will be looking for a new gig, and Hughes will be looking to catch him. Guaranteed.
I'll catch you, guaranteed.
Guaranteed. Man, the only thing more bizarre than Hughes rolling up on a referee and saying that he called him a bitch is it maybe being true. That's even more bizarre, because at the first sound of that, you got to be thinking, come on, these guys, it's their job to not escalate. It's their job to disengage. What referee would do that? What referee would get out a gas can on a spark like that? Well, apparently this guy, maybe, possibly, hopefully, we'll see. When we come back, Buffalo Bulls head coach Nate Oates joins us. Nate Oates worked for Bobby Hurley. Bobby Hurley's the head coach at Arizona State, and he is going to be our guest on the Jim Rome podcast later on today. So, the Hurley tree growing some branches. When we come back, Nate Oates is my guest. Mike Babcock coming up later on next hour. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. 1 hour down, 2 to go. Do not go anywhere.